So here we are with Vinit Bhatta and Marios Gregorio from Information Security Tools. And again, we're going to talk about CISF. I'll let them spell that out and at the same time introduce ourselves. Okay. So some background if you want.
Sure. Well, my name is Marios Gregorio, and I'm the PM for the Risk Tracker project and a couple of the components that we work in CISF, most notably the business intelligence and reporting.
Sure.
Background for me, so I've been at Microsoft for almost 3 years now, very close to 3 years. And before then, I was a fresh hire right out of school. My undergraduate was computer engineering, and then I decided that 5 years was not enough, and I wanted a little bit more of school. So then I went for a master's of business, and here I am.
Cool. I'm Vinit Bhatta. I'm senior SDE and kind of architect for CISF. I've been in Microsoft for almost like 3 years. I've been associated with projects like threat modeling and analysis, GAT, NTXSS, and most recently Risk Tracker. So now we're doing some interesting work on CISF, and we'll talk about this in this conversation.
Great. So what is CISF, if you don't mind?
Sure. Well, CISF stands for the Connected Information Security Framework. And in a previous video, we kind of talked about what our goals of what we wanted to do with it is. But what CISF actually is in a way the plumbing and the infrastructure for all the business solutions that we're building here at Microsoft Information Security.
It's kind of a building blocks, and which consist of reusable, loosely coupled components, which the solution teams can actually use to build applications on the top of it. And the target is basically the security domain here.
Wow. So, like Mario said, we've heard, you know, what the core end goal is and, you know, the long-term goal for CISF. But what does exactly it has? What does it include today?
I can start with some of the core pieces which the CISF is going to consist of. For example, we're going to talk about Portal. We're going to talk about ARTSI. We're also going to talk about Notification.
Okay.
And we're also going to talk about the BIPs, which we are building, sort of the core components for the entire CISF. We'll also talk about the BPMPs, and we also have a centralized service layer, which we'll talk about in this video.
Business intelligence. Tell me about that.
Okay. So, again, the purpose of CISF is to help us build business solutions, get them ready with less time in development, share features across applications, do it for less overall budget, faster, better, cheaper. So we found out that a lot of the various tools we've built in the past, you know, in our experiences with IT development, have been, you know, they always require some sort of report. You always want to see the data that's in there. I mean, if you've got an application, all you do is put things into it and never pull it out. You know, write-only memory is never really a technology that caught on. So it's definitely something common across all the things we build. So what we're trying to do is have a single interface that hosts all of the reporting needs for the applications that we build. But it goes a lot further than that, because we're not just a repository for a mishmash of data that doesn't connect. Part of what we're doing is, as we're bringing the data in, we've got some strict standards where we have to convert the structure so that we can report across data from different teams. So we can start to get some insight that teams in isolation just can't do on their own. And beyond that, we want to be able to take this knowledge and the information that we're pulling from the different systems, have all sorts of different ways to present them through reports, provide customization so that business users who want to explore what's going on, they may not necessarily be certain about what exactly they're looking for, provide them some analytics and some data mining capability. And then to take that and transplanted into a number of different applications wherever there's even a charting need. So you don't have to always refer back to a different page or a different interface to get your information.
Well, so it's like a very smart way to like glue information from different teams, different data warehouses, I guess, and and interpreting that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a repeatable process whenever the new customer comes on board with our VI solution.
That's right. You know, and one of the things we're doing is, we're just starting out with this. We've got one data source in there. We'll be bringing in a second one soon. Of course, the infrastructure to do this is what we're going to be releasing and what's going to be available to everybody who's watching. Not the data itself, sorry. But what we want to do is, as we gain more experience in this, is find things that are repeatable and automatable and build a nice shiny red button so we can push that to expedite the process.
Cool. What about, you know, where is this reporting sitting on? I'm assuming it's on the portal.
The reports will be actually shown on the NICE interface website.
Okay.
But the actual reporting, the data is coming from the cubes which we generate at the back end, from the data which we are sucking into the data warehouse. So what the users get to see is the report from the NICE interface on the website, but the actual work is being done at the background in the data warehouse.
Cool.
Yeah, and to take advantage of a reporting system, you don't really need to do anything different from any other BI project. You define your data needs, you build an ETL package, you pull the data in, you build your cubes. But what our platform allows is, you know, again, consolidating the reports into a single place, but when you do need to have those reports embedded, we're going to be providing a way to stick reports in whatever custom business applications you're building. Do it very easily.
Cool. Vineet, you mentioned the portal and front end.
Yep.
What can the user do on it? Or is it something, what does it come out of the box?
So portal is going to consist of, it's going to be the host environment for all the applications we build on CSF. It's going to have common things like navigation, the top navigation, or the any side navigations. It's also going to be the host environment for widgets. What are widgets? Widgets are small application pieces which we can build and host on the landing page of the portal. That's what our plan is. And a couple of other things are we going to make this portal like really, I mean, whatever applications get built, like first application has been risk trackers, we expect a couple of applications down the line. All these applications should have a consistent look and feel. So the application teams, the solution teams actually build these applications, deploy them in this host environment. This portal gives you the ecosystem for features like navigation. It will give you features. It will give you security sandbox features so that only specific people who have access to those applications or those assemblies which are being loaded into the solution get executed. So apart from these, we also want to bring in the portal is profile management. The profile management means that I want to see specific widgets on the home page. Or maybe the other user wants to see different widgets. So this kind of profile management is also part of the portal. Then we also want to bring in themes. Themes is like customization of not only the widgets, but also if you want to see the specific UI, specific colors, specific skins. So all that customization features will be part of the portal.
Good. You mentioned widgets. Can you name an example that you know can sit on the?
For example, as a part of the risk tracker, there were a couple of features. So we built in widgets like my risks for which I'm responsible for, or widgets like my task. Let's say there is a risk out there which we are tracking, and I have a subsequent task assigned to for that risk. So we have built in those risks which you can on a day-to-day basis. If you will come to the portal, you'll see. Okay, these are the three tasks I'm responsible for, or these are the five or seven risks I'm responsible for. It's just to keep a quick look into the other things happening.
Yeah. Widgets are a lot like the gadgets that you have in the Vista sidebar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. So, if different teams, different users come up and create their own widgets, are these also going to be available like in a community so that...
Absolutely.
You know, like the gadgets in Vista?
Absolutely. In fact, we're planning to have a small competition of the team that, okay, you can, there's going to be a standard process how to create those widgets.
Okay.
So people can create widgets which they think are useful. They can send those widgets to us, and we will host them in our environment. And if they, and basically you can reuse, if some you'd like some other widget from some other person who's given it, you can use it.
As long as the license is appropriate.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I don't know about that, but anyway. So you also mentioned notifications.
Yep. So look at in our IT environment, I mean, almost every application needs notification piece. I mean, you need to send reminders, you need to send the mails which have reports attached to it. Mm-hmm. So each and every team is kind of building their own notification piece, a notification component. Yeah. So what we want to do is take away this notification building from these individual pieces, centralize it, and build a component which can be reused. It can be used at a library level, or it can be reused at a service level. So we will support things like rich text, we will support plain text, and we will also support notifications like event-based, schedule-based. An example of each one of these is, in case of schedule-based, I want to receive a notification that the task is due in 2 days, or I want to receive a notification that the task is passed the date it was supposed to be finished. So these kind of schedule notifications we will be supporting. Now coming to event-based notification, let's say my risk manager goes and closes a particular particular task. So if I'm the person who has been assigned to the task, I should get the notification that's okay, please do not work on this task. This risk is closed. So that's an example of event-based notification. And then we also want to give advanced features like, I should just get one notification for the, let's say I have 4 tasks, I should just get one notification and not get spammed by 4 emails. Yeah. So these kind of features we are already building into it, and probably in a few months we'll have this component ready for solution teams or people who want to use CISF to actually use this one.
So, everything you're describing is actually already part of the current version of CISF, or it's...
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. I mean, it's not that, okay, it's ready today, but we have a vision, and we'll be working towards the next this quarter to actually get this done, the notification release.
Okay. Anything you want to
talk? I was just saying, when it comes to notifications, we've got many applications out there that we've that we own, that's been built in the past, that each of them have some sort of need to send out emails based on rules, based on time. They all do the same thing, but they all work a little bit differently. And it's just, it costs a lot to maintain 5 and 6 separate code bases that do the same thing.
Yeah.
Consolidating them would save us a lot, but at the same time, it also provides us a really nice way to push new features out to multiple applications at once.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Service layer.
So service layer is about that. What we have is, if you look at the architecture, we have the presentation layer of the consumers, and then you have the service, then you have the business side of it. Now we want to control this business side. Okay, who can access what in the system? Now, access is one, giving a service is another example. So all this, what we have done is we are building a service layer in between for all these client applications to access those features through proper authorization. I mean, it should not be like, okay, this tracker application can access some of the service layer APIs. So it doesn't mean that the same APIs can be accessed by some other application, even if they're not required. So that we are building authorization into service layer. Mm-hmm. Service layer is, and again, another thing is, these service layers should be easily consumable, it should be consistent, and it should not like, okay, from feature to feature or application to application, these service layers are drastically changing in terms of compatibility. So easily able to find these services, we're going to build tools around it, and we are also trying to have authorization embedded into these service layer. So if someone has access to risk object, only he should be able to actually do risk operations through the service layer. So this is going to be another core piece of our CISF framework.
Some of the things we want to accomplish and that the service layer will let us do in the future is automation. So we're providing a programmatic interface to a lot of the functions. Business functions that our software provides. We want to be able to automate processes, and then it also lets us connect to other teams and other processes. So if somebody else in Microsoft has a certain process that needs to interface to security, here you are. Here's a way that they can do that.
So our service layer is is basically built on the principles of SOA, and for this we are using Microsoft technology, which is WCF, and it's going to help us. It's going to help us in integrating our systems with external systems, and if the external systems want any kind of data from our system, for example, we have risk objects, we have other objects in the system. All they have to do is they will not need binaries from us, as long as they can. We provide them means to look up for a WSDL, and a means to find the service. All they have to do is call our service layer, get the data they need. So it's going to be a very seamless, easy integration between applications which we built and other applications which want to consume our data. So this is going to be a big thing in terms of integration between the applications.
Good. Otzi. That's how you say it?
Yep. So service layer and authorization kind of go hand in hand. So what we're building is we're looking into various Microsoft technologies like Geneva Framework, ASMAN, which is also called Authorization Manager. So it's a little bit early, it's an initial phase, and what we're trying to come up with is a very consistent authorization story that, okay, if you have credentials to call a service layer, or if you have credentials to do a specific function, or if you have credentials to actually view some data, only then you are allowed to do that action. So, for example, in RiskTracker version 1.0, we have built an authorization into our service layer, and what it means is that only if you are a valid user and have a credentials to call specific APIs in that in the service layer, you are allowed to do it. Otherwise, you'll be just knocked off. So that also brings in the security, and it also gives you a complete end-to-end authorization for the features you're developing in CSS.
Yeah, I mean, some of the information stored in this framework might be sensitive.
Very sure. I mean, RiskTracker actually holds HPI data.
Exactly.
We don't want that information going out to any person who's not authorized.
Good. So what about the business services?
The business services?
Sure. Well, the business services are define it without using the term in the definition. So it's providing an interface, you know, through the service layer to the business capabilities that our software has. So what does that mean? I mean, we've got, for example, risks and soon to be controls. That's the next step we're working on right now. So we have a data source of risks that we're capturing that our users can work with and track. We're exposing that as a business service, and we're allowing other parts of Microsoft to interface with that. So, for example, when it comes to controls and countermeasures, our business service is going to provide a way for other applications to pull our system for guidance information. So, for example, when one of our security scanning applications finds a vulnerability and might want to reference against our database and pull up all the information about what you could possibly do to plug that hole. So we have an authoritative source of data at Microsoft, and we want to provide access to that to others.
Cool. Yep, and again, this whole thing is supported through service layer. For example, if some tool wants information about a vulnerability, I mean, all he has to call is the service layer, and then again, since it's a business service layer, I mean, you can other solutions which are built on the top of CISF are just going to call the same service. It's not like you're going to duplicate the effort every single time. You just have a consistent architecture here, and the services are provided for those features.
Sometime in the future, for example, we could provide assessment as a service through our system. So right now, the ACE team here at Information Security provides a lot of assessment services to their customers and to development groups internally at Microsoft. and how, if we want to automate or connect other people's processes to this assessment so that they can request an assessment through the system, they'll be using our business service for that.
Yeah.
Cool. So there is like many more projects coming on down the pipe of things and applications that will be built on top of this.
So many.
Okay. So is that the way the team is moving on now? Like, you know, you're considering anything that we do, it has to be attachable to this framework, I assume.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, since that's why we call it CISF, connected information. Any application that comes in, it should be loosely coupled and connected to the system. It should not become silos of data at all. It should connect to the other system. We are not going to be a authoritative source for all the data in Microsoft or anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we want to be able to connect to systems from which way we need information. Another system should be able to connect to our system whenever they need data from our system. So that's the whole intent here.
Great. I think that's a lot of information to digest. So anything else you want to close this video on? And before we start seeing any screencasts on how people actually build applications on CISF, or I heard widgets, we'll look forward to how to create those.
Yep, I mean, I think the next one of the next videos we're going to do is how to create widgets.
Yes.
So that will actually be, once we put it on the community, people will we're hoping that people will participate in that, and they'll come up with some cool widget ideas, which we'll definitely host them on our portal homepage.
Cool. Anything else?
Well, we've got a never-ending supply of ideas and things to build, so come back frequently and check out. You know, we'll have information on what we're doing and how we're doing it. So,
yep.
Great.
Come
Thank
check
you.
Us out.
And our blog site is always updated, so keep visiting there.
Yes.
So you'll have always up-to-date information on what's happening in our team.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I know you're busy, but I was allowed to take some time from, you know, from your desk and talk to the community. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.